Psalm 18. Psalm 18, we're going to read starting with verse 1, first six verses here. The psalmist said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he cried unto my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him, even into his ears. Let's jump over to verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. And here's what I want us to kind of pay attention to. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. And finally, therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. So we're going to talk this morning for a little while about clean hands. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you today for your goodness and mercy and for all that you give us and all that you do. Lord, bless us to hear what the Spirit would say today. And God, let it touch our lives and change us. We're going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. What a great God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jake, would you go cut that thing off? Praise the Lord. You can be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Clean hands. You know, sometimes we get in a place where we're like, something's going on. You say, you know what, I just wash my hands of it. In other words, we're just saying, I'm done with it. But it's just better to have your hands clean from anything at all. You know, Pilate, he had power to release the Lord, but he gave in to the people. He kept trying to convince them, but when he saw the people would not be swayed, he said, fine. So he went and got water and actually washed his hands to be symbolic. And he said, I'm free from the blood of this man. But, you can't wash away those kind of things. Jesus can. But for us, what I wanted to focus on in this today is because I know that when we serve the Lord, number one, but when we come off a fast and things like we have been on, and when we start to see revival and God really starting to move, the enemy will do everything he can to hinder you and to disrupt your, you know, flow with the Lord and just try to really mess up this joy and revival and experience and all the things that you're having going on in your life right now. He just wants to throw mud on that, you know, just let me just shut them down. He doesn't want you enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And this is what the psalmist was talking about in 18. He said, I had enemies. I've got enemies. I've got people against me. And it doesn't matter how good a person you are, how nice you are. It doesn't matter how generous, kind, or respectful you are. It doesn't matter what position you hold. And it doesn't even matter how close you are to God. You're going to have enemies. Peter wrote to the church, of course, number one, he said that we have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. We know that. But we also know that Jesus told us in John 15 and 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The scripture says we would be hated of all men for his name's sake. And we know that people they don't love the Lord, so they don't love people who love the Lord. So it's no surprise, you know, to us when you read scripture, we see God's people are persecuted throughout. Again, Peter wrote that we should not think that it's strange the fiery trial that is to try us, as if some strange thing is happening to us. These things are going to happen. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We know that there are things that in this world and people in this world that are liars, because the Bible talks about liars. It talks about gossipers and backbiters and haters and despisers of them that are good. And so we know that serving God, you just know that you're going to stir up enemies. It happens. It's not on purpose. It happens. People that live in darkness don't like people that live in light. It happens. So, David, man after God's own heart, great worshiper, psalmist, great warrior, he still had other issues to deal with. He said in Psalm 3, how are they increased that trouble me? And many are they that rise up against me. You think, man, he's the king, but he still had problems, still had people. If the adversary is a roaring lion, you know, lions have cubs, they have a pride, they have many people that they can come against you with, many things they want to try to come against you with, and you have to remember these things. And knowing that we do have enemies, knowing that we do have people who will not like our stance, and we've got to be able to live and maintain our walk with God despite these things. We've got to be able to navigate this world without these things causing us to lose our testimony with God. And we don't want to dim the light that God has put inside of us. We don't want to just tarnish what God has done in our life by our reactions in this world. It's not easy. I never said it was. The Lord never said it was. He just said it was doable. That's one thing about it. It's doable. And so we've got to remember that Jesus said more than one time, love your enemies. So he's letting us know you have them. People who will, he said, some will despitefully use you. So how do we handle that? What do we do? Because we'd like to say, shouldn't I be able to just give back as good as I'm getting? But come on, you can amen it, because you know you think. I think that's almost like a little loophole the Lord gave us, be angry and sin not. Sometimes you're going to get upset, you're going to get angry, but then you've got to remember, is this worth losing my testimony, my walk? Is this worth losing my soul over? Is this worth me damaging, this walk, this life I have with God? Do I want to mess this all up just so I can let some words spew out of my mouth and just take it out on somebody, and I'm going to get you and give it to you? But the Bible says that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto, or we should do unto them as we would have them do unto us. Well, I don't want nobody getting in my face yelling. So I don't think I need to be getting in nobody's face yelling. Here's what we need to remember. We're God's people. Now, Now, that doesn't mean God's people are robots and we're not emotional. It doesn't mean that we don't have strong feelings and about things, and we rejoice and we get wounded. We have all ranges of emotions in our life. But our reaction, if negative, it can affect our walk with God. It can affect our testimony, our effectiveness for the kingdom, our ability to influence other people, because people just don't forget what they see. And if they see you flying off the handle and going crazy, it's hard for them to put any trust back into that kind of person, because you got a short fuse. I've seen you in action before, and so you'll end up being isolated because people don't want to be around that kind of stuff. But we've got to be able to trust God in these situations and realize that we can handle even anything that Jesus handled. And you say, well, wait a minute now, I'm not the Lord. No, but the Lord lives in you. And he said, the things that I've done, you'll do. And so that's not just talking about healing sick people and casting out devils. That's living a life, because he was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin. So he knows what we go through. He's felt our infirmities. He understands what it's like to be despised, rejected, mocked, laughed at, cursed. People hated him, killed him. And yet he kept himself without sin. Now, he knows that we're flesh and blood and that we're not him. But we need to stop falling back on the excuse so much. Well, I'm just human. Well, that's right, I am human. But that shouldn't just be an easy way for me to say I get to show out and then, well, I'm just human. It's a reason, but it's not an excuse. And the reason we mess up is because we are in our flesh, and our flesh has faults. And the reason that we mess up is because we're in our flesh and we have emotions. Yet, there's not a single emotion that if we will yield to the Spirit, that the Spirit won't control. It'll control our anger. Yeah. It'll control our hatred. It'll control unforgiveness and bitterness. It'll control hurt. It will control your tongue. It will control your fingers, keep you from texting or typing. It'll control you and keep you walking in the right way. And so how we react can influence the way we or our church or even our views are viewed. All people have to do is see you act one and say, that's just the way apostolic people are. They lump us all in. It doesn't matter. It's just like if one, notable, TV evangelist or preacher gets in trouble, well, now all preachers are like that. It happens. I mean, if it's something with money, they're all money hungry. If it's something with a perversion, they're all perverted. They just lump us all in anyway. That's why we've got to be so careful about our walk with God. And part of this walk is that we're going to deal with situations that will get you upset. And we've got to be able to navigate through that without losing our walk with him. We've got to know, well, how do I respond to that? What am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do, Pastor? Well, I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. Proverbs 24 and 29, the writer said for us to not say this. Say not that I will do so to him as he has done to me, that I will render to the man according to his work. We're not supposed to say, you cuss me, I'll cuss you. Lie about me, I'll lie about you. Come on. Two wrongs don't make a right. That's a fact. So you've got to get this into your heart, into your spirit. This is some of that word you need to hide in your heart and make sure that you view your situation through the lens of Scripture. Run it through the filter. You know what a filter is for? Is it gets out impurities. It lets everything that's good go through, and it holds on to stuff that ain't good. And if we will let our walk, and as we are coming against these things, let the filter of God's Word remove all the impurities, we'll react right. Very quiet today. Maybe everybody's sitting there going, oh, I knew I shouldn't have said that. I knew I should. Because it happens. Man, if you think that your pastor has never let his mouth get him in trouble, you're wrong. Because I have been upset. And I have raised my voice. Not in a good way. I used to have a terrible, terrible temper. And I always would just thank the Lord that he helped me with that. And then I can remember and recall one day, because my wife and I were on the phone, and she was telling me about something before I knew it, but I just went off, you know. And, man, it broke my heart because I had not, you know, but it was one of them days at work where everything was piling on me, and I didn't need one more thing, and it happened. I wasn't upset with her. It wasn't with her. It was another situation, and it just caused me to react in such a way. I thought, I'm glad that it was her I was talking to because nobody, you know, heard my rant but her. But after I got off with her, man, I just cried over it because I said, that's not the guy that I am. That's not the way I need to respond. And so the Scripture gives us the way that we can keep ourselves in the right place. So first of all, it's not I'm going to get you back kind of lifestyle. Man, what if Jesus would have said that to everybody that messed with him? I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. He could just be like, they're gone. They're gone. You know, he could just spoke them out of existence. But instead, he just loved people anyway. I said this a couple of weeks ago that there ain't a single one of God's enemy that is greater than his love. Love covers a multitude of sin. A soft answer still turns away wrath. It's, you know, it's that's Scripture, and when we live our life in the right way, people see that. Even the people that don't like you see that, I think it infuriates them there for a little bit because they really would rather get a bad reaction out of you. Look, if you don't think that your enemy would love for you to just fly off the handle, that's exactly what he's trying to get you to do. And I ain't just talking about the devil. I'm talking about anybody that's messing with you. They want you because they know what you claim to be, and they just want a reason to say, aha, you're just like everybody else in the world. But if you can answer them through that filter of Scripture and give them that right answer, the Scripture, it's like putting coals of fire on the head. Yeah. Ain't nothing burns them up more for them to say, you're this, that, and that, and you go, I sure love you. Yeah. Yep. Yep. They got a fire on their head, and it ain't the Holy Ghost. And you think, yeah, but I don't want to look like no chump, and I don't want to look like no sissy, and I don't want to look like I ain't got no spine. So I would have to say, well, then I suppose that's what you think about the Lord. Because the Scripture says when they did all the things they did to him, he said he answered not a word. Didn't say nothing. I've made this reference before. Being meek is not weak. Jesus was meek and lowly, yet he said, I have all power in heaven and earth. The greatest strength is knowing when to use what you got. Yep. And when not to. In Luke 6 and 27, the Lord said, but I say unto you, which hear, he said, I need somebody to hear me. The Lord said, you need to hear this. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. and pray for them which despitefully use you. Woo, that's a tall order. Yeah. But I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I can pray for those that despitefully use me. I can love my enemy. I can still do good to those that hate me. If you can remember who you were before you knew the Lord, you think about how good he was when you didn't even pay him no mind at all. Think about how good God was to you when he was the last thing on your mind. When you was doing things that broke his heart, how good was he to you? So if he could die for me when I was his enemy, love me when I was his enemy, so I can follow along. Because I'm gonna tell you, you may navigate through this world and never have a family tragedy. You might not ever have to hear the doctor say you got cancer or anything like that. But you're going to have somebody close to you stick a knife in your back, slander your name, treat you ugly, and that can kill you just as quick as a cancer. Yeah. That hurts just as bad as a punch in the mouth. Let me tell you, even David, he loved Saul. It wasn't his fault Saul was jealous and had lost his contact with God. And he said, man, if it had been my enemy that was against me, I could handle that. He said, but it was you. We went to the house of the Lord together. We were in step, and man, it was you. Remember, when he would talk to Saul, what have I done? And every time Saul, nothing. I'm just spiteful and jealous and I'm losing the grip on reality, so I just want to kill you. When you get like that, so you can't even see things right. And David, when he had the opportunity, look, if Saul had got the chance, he'd already tried to stick him to the wall with a javelin a couple of times. And while he was asleep in that cave, David comes up on him and could have killed him. One of his soldiers, he said, look, the Lord has put him in your hand. He's delivered you. He said, take him out. And he wouldn't do it, but he just cut off a little bit of his garment. And that like to kill him. It said it smote David's heart that he even did that. But he woke Saul up and he said, look, he said, I could have killed you, but I just took this little piece of garment to show you that I got nothing against you. It can be done. We don't have to act the way the enemy acts. We don't have to be an accuser. We don't have to be a liar. We don't have to be a gossip. We can be like Jesus. We can follow the word. We can live by the scripture. We can do what God wants us to do. It is possible. Now Paul was from his own countrymen. He was hated, plotted against, all for just preaching the gospel. In Romans 12, this is what he wrote for us, Romans 12 and 17, he said, recompense to no man, that means don't pay them back. Recompense is to pay back. Give them a reward. He said, don't reward any man evil for evil. Don't give him evil. If he treats you bad, don't return the favor. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God's letting you know, I see what's going on, I'll take care of it. Quit trying to step in. I've read this before and someone mentioned this to me one time. I'd never really thought about that, but whenever I take vengeance, I steal from God because vengeance is his. And I don't want to try to step in God's role and do what only God can do or should be doing. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's what he's saying. Don't do the wrong things. Don't pay people back. Don't give them, well, I'm going to give them as good as I got. And you think, and that'll show them they won't ever mess with me again. Oh, but a lot of other people won't mess with you either. Because they're going to know, you know, that you're a loose cannon. You got no control over who you are. And I get it. Look, I lived a life of where I got a lot of people back before I come to the Lord. Man, if I heard you was talking about me when I found you in the hallway coming through school, wasn't no, hey, how you doing? It was walk right up to him and punch you right in the face. Because I heard what you said. You know, meet me after school. Meet me in the parking lot. Meet me down by the trestle at the river. We're about to settle this. You know, I had plenty of that in my lifetime. And you know the thing about it is, it doesn't matter how, you might win the fight, but you're going to come away with a busted nose or a split lip, or you're still going to be hurt. But ain't nothing hurts you worse than to act like the enemy that's against you. We've got to act like the Lord. Yeah. And it's possible, because we can do, all things are possible to him that believes. Quit applying that to praying for sick people only. Quit applying that to miracle signs and wonders only. One of the greatest miracles that you'll ever see is keeping your lips shut. That's a miracle, because people, man, we're like dynamite. We're like sticks of dynamite with a fuse, and it's so easy to just go off. And one of the greatest testimonies that you'll have is that I kept my hands clean. Because God, the psalmist said, he rewarded me according to my righteousness and the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. The Lord is watching how we handle it. And so if we'll keep our hands off, we'll keep our hands clean. Keep our hands off these things. Remember, vengeance is his. He will repay. God's going to fight our battle. God's going to take care of these things. You know, the God that lives inside of us, the Bible says God is love. He's merciful and he's gracious. And he lives in us. And God is that spirit. But the scripture warns me, don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the love. Don't quench the mercy. Don't quench the grace. I'm telling you, you hear me? There are just like in this regular physical life, there are levels for us to achieve of maturity in our walk with God. And part of that will be responding the way Jesus responded to those that hated him. Peter was so upset about them taking the Lord that he yanked out a sword and cut off a man's ear. And he said, Peter, put that sword up. Put that sword up. One time they said, hey, them people right here don't want to receive you. You want to call fire down from heaven and burn them up? He said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. And so when you have these enemies come against you, Don't think it's strange, because they came against him. They came against his apostles, that great cloud of witnesses that we read about, all had these same kind of troubles, and yet they held on by faith. Do you think none of them ever slipped and let it fly? Sure they did. You know, Peter seemed like he had a pretty good temper. I'm sure we just don't read about it, but I would wager a bet, if I was a betting man, that post-Pentecost, he probably told somebody off. let somebody have it and had to say, Lord, I'm sorry again. Because it just happens. That's that. But it should not be the default setting. That should not be our default setting. That I'm just, man, going to go off like a bomb and just let everybody have it. I'm just going to clear the house. No, that's just not the way you do it. It never benefits you. You'll never profit from it. And you're never going to get a resolution from it. It's only going to make things worse. Scripture does tell us, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Quit fueling the fire. Now, again, hard is not impossible. It might be hard, but it's not impossible. Love still covers a multitude of sin. I said this earlier, a soft answer still turns away wrath. And blessing your enemy will still put coals of fire on his head from the Lord. So don't be like, I'm getting this off my chest. Well, then do that in prayer. Vent to the Lord. Get it off your chest to him. And I can promise you that once you're done, if you'll listen, he'll say, I hear you. Now hear me. Don't recompense evil for evil. I'll take care of this. You're my kid. I'll take care of this. In Exodus 14 and 14, it said, the Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Oh, man. It's funny in a way when you start thinking, because you just know how people are. And you know that, whew, Lord, I sure love you and I trust you, but I don't know if I can hold my mouth. I don't know if I can just be quiet right now. Ooh, I don't know if I can, Lord. And there'll be many times where you probably won't, but you'll wish you had a. Because especially when those words are towards somebody that you know you really love. But you was just mad. And now, no matter how much they say they forgive you, you can't take it back. You can't make it go away. It's out there. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. No, it's out there. And that's horrible. That's a horrible thing to live with, that every time you see them, you're thinking, do they still think about that day I just... It's awful. And that's why you want your words to be peaceable and gentle. They can be firm and corrective and instruction, full of instruction for people. You can talk to people in a way that's loving. I mean, look at the Lord, how he would, man, just tell, he told a woman, he said, I don't condemn you either. But now you go on your way and sin no more. Whew. Boy, you tell that to somebody, oh, I guess I'm a sinner and you ain't. That's how, but the Lord knew, he said, I can show them first that I love them, and then it's easier to receive some pretty firm instruction. And so our default should always be to show love, even to those that despitefully use us. Okay. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Because this concept sounds foreign to our flesh, because it is. But when we become new creatures in him, old things are passed away, all things are made new. This new life requires a new way of living. And the new way of living is not to react the way we did before we knew him, but is to react the way that he would have us react. Again, that does not mean we get it right every time. Thank goodness that his mercy is new every morning, that he's the God of forgiveness, and that he'll tell us, hey, I get it. You messed up. That's all right. You know, just don't do it no more. God still loves you. He's not going to throw you away, kick you to the curb. He didn't take the keys that he gave Peter away because he cut a man's ear off. He said, yeah, you still going to preach. Yeah, in just a few hours, you'll deny me, and you'll go out cussing doing it. But, you know, you still got the keys, Peter. So the Lord will fight for you. My job is to hold my peace. You're holding your peace. In other words, you're in control of your peace. You hear me? Nobody else, no matter what they say, you're in control of your peace. No matter how they treat you, you're in control of your peace. The Lord will fight for you. You hold your peace. Not just keep your mouth shut. You hold on to your peace. The Lord said, I'll give you peace, not as the world gives peace. So they find their peace in retaliation. We find our peace in trusting Him. Hold your peace. That's why, man, that peace of God that passes understanding, it don't just keep you in the middle of trials and tests, but that peace is there when you know you've been lied on. But you know, I still love everybody. So you just keep growing right on.
That's right.
Now, they'll misinterpret it as, yeah, you know, your enemy will try to spin it off as, see, they don't even really care. It's not that I don't care, but you're not going to ruin my life.
Right.
And you're not going to ruin my walk.
Right.
And I loved you before you said it. I love you now. Well, I don't love you. That's up to you. You and the Lord take that up, because I'm not going to let, I'm holding my peace. I'm in control of this. Nobody else is going to rob me of my peace. So I got to be like the Lord who spoke not a word. C.S. Lewis said this: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And so that's something we forgive things we believe and feel like are inexcusable. There was no excuse for that, but we forgive it because God forgave the inexcusable in us. And honestly, as the holder of our peace, who can hurt you really? Peter said this, 1 Peter 3, in verse 8. He said, finally, be you all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. There it is again. Or railing for railing. But contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are there unto called, that you should inherit a blessing. He said, you're called to be different, so that you can inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. In other words, turn from it, run from it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And then he said, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Really, who can hurt you when you're following the Lord, when you're taking care of him, or he's taking care of you? I mean, really, who can hurt you? You know, well, they said this, okay, but is it true? No. Okay. You know, a lie doesn't change the truth. We act like a lie changes the truth, but it don't change the truth. It's just a lie. Well, what if so-and-so, what if all these people hear it? Well, they'll either believe it or not. If they just believe it at the word of somebody's mouth, then they got problems too. You know, a lie does not change the truth. The truth always comes out. It'll always And the truth always wins. And the truth always sets free. So, you know, make sure that you realize that God's on your side, and who can hurt me? Who can touch me now? I don't think I gave you any more scripture right there, but I'm going to read the next couple ones, verses. He said, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And don't be afraid of their terror, and don't be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or behavior in Christ. He said, so you just make sure you've got a clear conscience. You make sure you're doing the things so your conscience is good, and they can speak evil of you, but they'll be ashamed for falsely accusing you, because you know, the Bible says, don't praise yourself, but let another man praise you. In other words, let other people, there'll be other people that's part of the body that'll say, that ain't true. I know that person. That ain't right. And maybe you got some kind of, bug, bee in your bonnet, as they would say. You know, you got something, you know, got you all stirred up, but that ain't true. And you need to cut those false words out. Don't be doing that. I know I'm coming close to time, honey, if you want to come on up to the music. So we keep our hands clean. You keep your hands out of it and off of it, clean. You know, keep your hands, you go work on a car all day. You ever worked on engines, done that, hands just black. You don't just go in your house touching the wall and touching things, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to leave fingerprints and smudges and messes everywhere. You're going to dirty up stuff. It'll be obvious that your hands have been on it. And so dirty hands leave an impression on anything that you touch. So if we don't keep our hands clean in these situations, we're going to dirty up our life, our walk, our ministry. We need to keep our hands clean. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Listen to what he said right here about clean hands. He asked a question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, not sworn deceitfully. So who's going to be in that place? He that has clean hands. There are just some things that we're not supposed to put our hand to. We're not supposed to have a hand in that. Job 17 and 9, he said, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You just get stronger and stronger, better and better. So don't get discouraged. It's going to pay off. When people say things that are untrue, talk about you, try to bring you down, look, just keep your hands clean. You can stand with me this morning. And then let God handle your enemies. There's a saying, I know you've heard it before. It isn't the water around the boat that sinks it. It's what gets into the boat. So don't let what's going on around you get into you. Keep your hands off of it. Keep your hands out of it. Keep your hands clean, because God always does a better job than we do. Let the Lord handle it. Amen. And he will handle it. Because he said, it's mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'll take care of this. I'll fight this battle. You'll have to wonder, will he? He will handle it. And when the Bible says, when our ways please the Lord, he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. You just can't beat serving God. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for your word. What wonderful instruction for living this life. Lord, I pray today that our ears will hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, that seed will find good ground in our heart and flourish. And God, we'll be better at holding our peace and keeping our hands off of it. Help us with that today and everything in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his word.